If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Nice to have you with us on the post-game podcast. Not the warm-up show. That's coming up in just a moment. Al Dukes, what's going on?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. Now, today you had a clip that you were playing in one of your updates, and you forgot to edit out a curse word.
Yeah.
So we watched as Eddie dove for the dump button. But it reminded me of, I think that working the dump button on Opie and Anthony was my favorite job I ever had.
Really?
Yeah. And because there was no prep for it.
So more so than Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, because that I actually had to do work for. Like, this was just legitimately show up.
And listen to a radio program.
Listen to a radio show, and if they did something bad, take it out. there was nothing you can do about it.
Did you feel valuable, though?
I did.
Really? Because I would think that's a job anybody could do. Just listen for the dirty words.
Well, the thing was, in the Opie and Anthony case, it wasn't just looking for dirty words. It was looking for things that were too descriptive sexually.
Oh, sure.
All that stuff. Yeah. And they got so good at describing things without
crossing the line.
Yeah. That they were just got so good at it.
Did you sit there sometimes like...
Yeah, all the time. You'd be like, ah.
It's actually a stressful job.
Yeah, because you'd have to... Well, yes. It could get stressful. And the worst was... You know, again, like I said, I wasn't part of their... This was like at WNEW before they got in trouble.
Yeah.
I was part of no meetings. It was, they didn't tell me nothing.
Right. You just showed up to work, did your job.
And I was the enemy down the hall. Like, they did not like me.
Oh, that sucks, though.
Yeah, they didn't like me because I was taking the fun out of the show. And I'd sit back there in the room, and it would be the worst. It'd be like, they would just say, like, oh, Tracy Morgan's coming in. I'm like, oh, shit. Tracy Morgan? Because that's a guy who I know knows none of the rules.
Right.
Opie and Anthony knew the rules. But they would have so many comedians in. Like, they'd be like, oh, Dr. Dirty, John Valdi. That's a guy who sings piano songs, all filthy songs.
Right.
That guy's not...
He's going to come in and sing filthy songs.
He doesn't care about the rules.
Right.
And then by the time I got to K-Rock and did it, they were...
What'd you do that for?
I did that for Opie and Anthony they came back.
I always forget they came back and did
that. So when they came back... They would actually, it was so bizarre, they would run stuff by me before the show.
Yeah, well, because they had been fired, disappeared, and now it was their chance to be back.
It was the producers. I didn't deal with Opie or Anthony.
Oh, they meant Opie and Anthony.
The producers would come down and be like, hey, the guys really want to do this. What could they say? How could they say this? And we would try to go around that way. But, man, that was just a good old time for
Those
myself.
Were what years for you?
That had to be 2000. The K-Rock was 2006, right before I came here.
Right. N.E.W.?
N.E.W. was 2003. Probably did it for them. A year, probably. Not even. And then they... No, you know what? It wasn't even that long. Because the whole Sex for Sam thing happened, and I had just started on my own back there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had been being trained.
Wow.
But yeah, they were... it was... That was stressful. So the one time when I was at K-Rock, I'm not going to say the word, but there were, Anthony was using a certain word that was not on the list of bad words.
Okay.
Should have been, but it was not on the list.
Okay.
So he was doing a Family Feud bit where he was playing the Family Feud. And I was, Jerry, I was howling laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my little room with my dump button. And Tom Chiasano was in charge of K-Rock.
Director.
He was the general manager.
Oh.
I was having a good old time for myself, laughing it up. He came in, and I guess I didn't pay attention because I had my back to him. He kicked my chair. He goes, "You're good with this?" I go, "That word is not..."
I need to know what this word is.
I can't even say. It's a terrible word.
Really?
That would be dumped immediately.
No kidding.
But it just wasn't...
Yeah, I got you.
It wasn't a curse word. It wasn't a sexual description. It wasn't an excretory thing.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty now. It sounds insane that
oh, sure,
were,
sure.
That was a.
No, I wonder what this was. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you didn't get in trouble, or you did?
No, but then that word got put on the list,
and so that was that.
Yeah, and that was that.
How about that?
Yeah, but that was a fun job.
I'm surprised you enjoyed that, because I would think very stressful.
It was. The at WNAW, it was stressful. Because if you dumped something, the audience would immediately call and tell them, "Nope, not even hearing this."
Oh, so these guys didn't realize, and that's why they hated you.
And then they'd be screaming. Yeah. But we were actually, the dump button at WNAW, it was actually in a locked room. So no one could come in.
I mean, this sounds like the Stern movie from back in the day.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you think about how, what's the right word? It's not, nothing really crosses the line anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, or push boundaries to really extreme levels like Stern did.
Yeah.
From, by all accounts, anyway, I was never around it, obviously. And it seems like that was Stern against the world. That's what this sounds like.
Yeah, you were in that little room just hiding.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. And there'd be knocks at the door. You'd be like,
uh-oh.
Well, you know,
no one's home!
They didn't want anyone coming in.
Yeah, and distracting you.
Right, while the show's on the air.
Well, even Bob, when he first started doing the dump button for Boomer and Carton, he was in their back office.
Yeah.
You know, that was beyond Spitz's and Chernoff's office. That was, I mean, talk about a morning show. Could you give them a smaller office to share?
Oh, my right.
God. Wow.
Yeah. And then I used to have to write up a sheet of what got dumped out of.
Sure.
And why. You know, I have to explain why.
And that was to the boss or for Opie and Anthony?
It was to the boss, and a copy went to them as well. So that hopefully they would look at it and go, okay, we can't do this. But
got it.
WNEW, Opie and Anthony had no rules. They were crazy.
What was the heyday of NEW music-wise? Would you say the 70s into the early 80s?
I would say all the 80s.
All of the 80s?
I think all of the 80s.
So then it fell off when and then became talk? Because I don't remember.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was probably 1998.
Is when it became talk or started to fall off?
No, so in like 1998, they were still doing music, and then they hired Opie and Anthony to do afternoons, and they were still playing music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then all they used to do was complain about how bad the music was and how they didn't want to hear the same songs over and over again.
Sounds like someone I know that works at a sports station that hates sports.
Yeah. And then little by little,
they just kept talking. Very interesting.
And then all the old rock jocks got very upset with them. Hmm. Or some of them did. I would think some of them actually liked Opie and Anthony.
Yeah,
I think
Scott
Muni liked Opie and Anthony.
Oh, okay.
But like Carol Miller did not like
a fan.
Them. Yeah, she did not like them.
Hmm.
So, it was interesting there. And then I guess probably when alternative rock became very popular and the classic rock wasn't so much. I don't know. I got here. I was gone. And when I returned in 2001.
Oh, that's right.
It had changed already.
Yeah.
So I got here because it had changed. And
that was the first format flip for me that was like eye-opening. And again, I don't remember exactly the years. That's why I was asking you. But I mean, I was at that time in my 20s. And I do remember, it's like one of those stations you think is going to be the same forever. And then when Stern announced he was leaving, and I was like, wow, I wonder what K-Rock's going to be. I remember when they went from K-Rock to Talk, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, where's my K-Rock going? I was devastated. It's not the right word. But as a daily listener to it, and as someone that did enjoy the jocks, and they did it in a different way. Like, for me, I remember N.E.W., the jocks would like tell stories in between the music.
Yeah.
K-Rock for me was the first station where they talked over the music right to the lyrics. And I thought it was the coolest thing that you had to be on point. You had to be concise and you had to nail that post. And I thought they were, and I'm like, this is why they're in New York. Like, these guys are phenomenal at this. And you know, the Kane, the Cabbies, the, you know, all these, the Sluggos and all the jocks we were talking about, it just was, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if they did this at K-Rock back then, but a lot of the jocks, especially now, they'll record their really? Talking over the song in case they screw it up. They could go back and
how
record
interesting.
It.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to know that.
Yeah, I don't think they did that. When I worked with Booker,
well,
he did not do that.
I was going to say, you and Booker didn't do that, did he?
He did not do that, no.
Okay. Good. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, that was an easy job, too, working with Booker.
That was fun, though, right?
Yeah, because it was music.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, talking and then just seeing what weirdos were on the phone.
Which sounds fun.
Yeah.
It sounds fun.
And it was afternoons.
Oh, I remember.
I'd leave my house at like 11 a.m.
When I started working here in 1997, that's all I listened to was K-Rock and Fan. That was it. And I remember when Flagpole Sitta, Harvey Danger.
Yeah.
Remember when that song came out? Like, I would hear that song every time driving into work. Like, I loved that song when it came out. You know, Eve Six, like all those bands. That's when I really got into it. And that station, if I wasn't listening to Fan, it was K-Rock. There was nothing else for me.
It was amazing that like that they went from classic rock, and then there was enough music in a brand new genre.
Yeah.
Of alternative rock.
It exploded.
To create radio stations around the country.
Yep. And then, one in Los Angeles is still going strong.
Yeah, and a lot of the stations that had Howard on in the morning, and they did classic rock in the afternoon,
right,
all day, and then they switched that to alternative, yeah. And then some of the stations were just talk stations.
That's right. I forget 92.3 was classic rock up against 102.7, up against NEW.
Yeah. Howard Stern all morning, yeah. Classic rock all day.
Really,
I used to love that station.
Yeah, no, I know. I hear you.
Yeah, man.
Long time ago now.
Yeah, and I would go K-Rock first, N.E.W. second, P.L.J. third.
Okay.
As my dial positions.
Got it.
And then FM 106.3 got very popular prior to, mm-hmm. or it was popular, not explosive popular, but it had an audience.
Well, down south it was, yeah.
Prior to K-Rock being alternative, like
right.
The really first wave of alternative music.
Yeah.
Was at that FM 106.3 with Matt Pinfield, who I hear is not doing very well.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, like he suffered some sort of medical condition.
That's not good.
So shout out Matt Pinfield.
He was on like MTV for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah,
or VH1 maybe.
MTV.
It was MTV.
Yeah. He hosted 120 Minutes.
Oh.
The alternative rock show.
Oh, okay.
I think it was on Friday nights or Saturday nights.
Got it. I think I've seen him on the, you ever see the music show on, I know you don't have TV anymore, but there's a show on Access TV.
Yeah.
They call it The Countdown. And they'll count down like, you know, the top 10 songs of 1984, the top 10 hair band songs, the top. And that's what the premise of the show is about. And he's shown up on that a lot as like a Booker has shown up on that too.
Oh, yeah, when they reminisce about stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that stuff.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've been watching, I tell you, like on regular YouTube TV, they have 48 hours is yeah. the CBS show. They put them all up there. But they're old episodes. Like they'll even, when you go to watch them, it'll say originally aired.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so bizarre to me is like I watched one last night and they're all like originally aired June of 2010.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's 15 years ago now.
It does not look
I know.
Old.
I know.
And in 1985, if something would have been originally aired in 1970.
It would have looked ancient.
Yeah.
The technology is just so much better now. It is. And the tweaks have been minor for the last, I would say, ever since we got to HDTV. You can give me 4HD, 9HD, whatever. It's clear. So I don't know how you make something that wasn't grainy back then look old.
But like not even, what's weird is like the hairstyles, the clothing is not that.
Off from now.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel like we're in a pretty steady time. Where, again, changes in technology have changed, meaning the phones and apps and all sorts. But in terms of what we watch, yeah, obviously we consume music different too. But TV-wise, I don't even think like our fashion was that much different. I don't think that was, there were no bell-bottoms in 2010, you know? Jeans were jeans and...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think like what I would consider... old now, like what year is the cutoff for something like?
To me, that's just for me. I would say early 80s feels old to me now.
Yeah,
I don't, you know, 19. I was in high school, and I walked into my high school the other day, and again last night for a baseball meeting. I still walk in there feeling like I could go to class. It's so weird, and it was 33 years ago I graduated. Yeah. But everything at that school looks the same. I mean, they've had some upgrades, obviously, but the halls, the office, it all looks the same. So I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I don't know.
Yeah.
Pretty wild,
trying to think
though.
Like 20 when things are 20 years ago. So 20 years ago would be 2005.
Yeah, sure.
That doesn't feel that.
It doesn't. And yet in 1995, if you would have said 20, 25 years ago, you'd be talking about John Lennon still being alive. Maybe that's it, too. I don't know. We're talking about different eras.
Yeah.
Just everything felt different.
Yeah. Very strange.
Yeah.
By the way, DirecTV, by the way, Jerry, they're putting out new packages, new streaming packages.
Are they really?
Where you don't have to buy the whole package.
Interesting.
They're having a sports package, which doesn't seem like it's worth it just because it's $70
okay.
for the sports package. And that seems like a lot.
It could be, though.
Then they have there's one called an entertainment package that's $35
mm-hmm.
a month. And it has like HGTV, A&E, yeah. TLC, no sports stations.
Right.
And then they have a news package if you want all the news channels.
The problem with the entertainment package is there are other ways to get those channels.
Yeah.
And you don't have to pay anything, really. The Roku channel, I think Roku TV offers a lot of those on their platform. You don't got to pay for it.
Well, not like HGTV. I don't think so. A&E, no, none of those. Those should be.
Then what channel? Because you get about 100 channels on the Roku channel, on the Roku stream.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of those channels have their own. So
like their own version of them?
Yeah, it might be like, it might not be HGTV, but they may have licensed
HGTV
or HGTV House Hunters International that they show all day long.
Oh, okay, maybe that. I don't know. That's what I see.
I mean, there's plenty of free stuff.
There's plenty. There's 100% plenty. The thing for me, and it's the only reason I keep the DirecTV stream, is the sports.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you're telling me that I could get every sports thing I have right now and I could cut $50 a month out, I would do it.
Yeah, unfortunately. I looked at it before.
And it's not.
It's still missing, like, it's
the,
none
the
of
sports
this,
package.
None, yeah, the sports, if you just want the sports right. package.
Because the full DirecTV stream that I have for 100 and... I think I pay $109 a month, I think. I think it's $109.99 a month. I get, there's nothing that I don't get.
Yeah, so for example, on this one, I looked. There's no CBS.
CBS Sports Network or CBS?
Even CBS. No CBS or CBS Sports Networks.
Okay.
And there's no NBC, well, NBC Sports Network doesn't
Peacock,
exist now.
Isn't
yeah.
It now?
Yeah, which is not on there because it's not Peacock.
Yeah, I don't.
So again, it's like
there's so many different choices. Too many. There's too many things.
And none of them
have everything.
No, right. None of them are
except for my DirecTV stream.
Right.
Which is why I still have it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can put it on, I think it's 8 different TVs at once.
Yeah,
to
that's
me
good.
Is very appealing.
Yeah.
Put it on your phone. You can stream it on your tablet. You can. It is. I do believe for what I use it for, it is 100% worth it.
Yeah, and the streaming thing is great now because. Let's say they get into a fight with somebody and they drop some of the channels. You can go somewhere else.
Yes. You've got options. Unlike years ago when if you lived in an apartment building and the only way you got TV was by getting Cablevision or Comcast or whatever, and there was no other option, you were screwed big time. Now, guys, you got a problem with MSG and Optimum? Just go get DirecTV Stream. Everybody's got the internet.
You know what's weird, though, now, like for where I live, and this is certain people, depending on where you live, from where I live... My internet option is Optimum.
Okay.
And that's it, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I have Comcast as an option. T-Mobile is now an option. Fios, which is what we have, is an option. That might be it. That might be my three that I have.
I mean, I guess I could get Starlink. You could get that anywhere.
Yeah, you could. 100% you could.
I'm curious for the people that have, like, the T-Mobile
which I've contemplated.
Internet. Which is that's using 5G. It's not using a cable anyway.
They call it whole house internet. It's 5G.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think Verizon
are they doing
offers something like that as well. I'm curious people that have it, how that is for streaming.
I don't know. It's a great question.
Yeah.
I do not know. But I mean, if you, yeah. That's, I see. I want to go that route because it is significantly cheaper. Oh, by the way. And I don't love Fios. Like, Fios is slow sometimes in my house, and I pay a lot for it.
Yeah.
Like, I get the top tier internet so that I don't have issues. And yet, there are spots in my house, like, come on. Like, where it, even like in the basement, there are times I'll be watching TV down there, and all of a sudden it's just gone. No connection. I mean, no connection. The router's right above me.
Yeah.
How could there be no connection? It's like part of me really wants to try the T-Mobile, but if I'm still going to do the cowboy job and I still work several Sundays out of my house, I need the...
Yeah.
I still need that wired internet.
Yeah, I've never, knock on wood, had a problem with my Optimum cable.
Okay.
I mean, my Optimum internet.
Yeah.
I know people always complain about it. And even I'll even see on like the Bradley Beach Facebook page, my Optimum's up. I've not had a...
That's good.
...single problem. So even though it's probably, I'm sure it's more than the T-Mobile thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess... I don't want to mess with it because it's working for me.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
And the
to me, if you got something good, you're good. I think, personally.
Yeah. Like, they haven't given me a reason to start being like, what is this T-Mobile all about? Yeah. Other than price.
Yes. Agreed. Price-wise, it is significant.
Yeah.
But and I, again, I would change because I'm not thrilled with the Fios.
Yeah.
I don't have the luxury like you do of saying, this has been fabulous for 4 years. No, it hasn't, actually.
Yeah.
It has not been. I actually ordered Comcast once, and then I didn't realize they had to come. They'll do it, but they had to come dig. Like,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
what?
That's the
no
thing.
Thanks.
Right.
No, I'm good. I'll pass.
Digging stuff.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you very first got cable as a child?
I remember having it. I don't remember the first days my parents got it. That I don't remember. But I do remember having it, yeah, in two rooms. About three rooms. My parents had it in their room. We had a living room and the family room. That was it.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I had a black and white TV in my room, just Channel 5, Channel 3, 2 out of Philly. You
really?
Get, I used to, there were several Cowboy games I would get on channel. I used to have to take it. So I'm not even kidding. You would put the antenna up, and then you would wrap the aluminum foil around the antenna, and it would be a long foil, and you would stick it by the window. And I swear to God, Channel 3, which was CBS in Philadelphia, would come in snowy, but 100% you could hear it and you could see it. And I would say 3, 4, 5 times a year I would be able to see the Cowboy game on out of Philly when, you know, the Giants were playing at the same time. And that's what you got on CBS.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, so even if you wanted to have cable in one of your other rooms, think about how much of a pain in the ass that was if you wanted to.
It sure was.
Where now it's just like,
but even
a
like,
streaming device.
All right, but even, so like, even think about the accessibility to anything we want to do. If you think about, and you talk about how long ago this was, before I started working here, so I'm talking 94, 95, 96, do you know that if the Cowboys weren't on TV, I would listen to Ed Coleman and the NFL in Action just hoping for a Cowboy update like every 12 or 13 minutes? That was the only way to find out. They didn't scroll the scores on the screen yet. Maybe they did. They
I
might
think
have.
They scrolled, but they would give you a halftime score,
yes,
right?
It was like, there was no phone. I remember I bought the sports score beeper. Did you ever get one
no.
of those? Around this time, I got frustrated, and I got a beeper, but it wasn't a beeper like drug dealers have or girlfriend. It was a sports score beeper, and it was the coolest thing. Until my parents realized I bought it and I had to pay monthly for it.
Oh, it was a monthly fee.
Yeah, that was short-lived. I didn't want to pay. But I had it for about, I would say I maybe had it for about a year or so. That was cool. And then I would call sports phone before I worked there from time to time.
What did that cost you?
Again, something my parents weren't thrilled about when they got the bill. I want to say it was like 99 cents a call, something like that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it all the time, but there'd be times I'd be waiting for Ed. Come on, what's that? And I would dial up. I'd call sports phone for the Cowboy score.
Probably could have just called the fan and someone would have told you.
Maybe, but I never did that stuff.
That reminds me, too. I was watching one of these 48 hours things, and a guy's wife ends up drowning in the pool. They find out he's got a girlfriend, the husband.
Oh, boy.
So they look at his phone records. He was calling this woman who just lived down the block.
Yeah.
On the cell phone, and their cell phone bill was $600 because back then you paid by the minute.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
How did they ever change
that? That?
Well, he didn't. That's how he got in.
Oh, is that true?
Found out, yeah. But how did the phone companies go from charging us that much money to now it's just free?
Al, I remember with my family in California, I remember we would call them, like we would trade. We would call one weekend, they would call the next weekend. And it was always, hey, you know, you can talk to your grandfather. Let's not be too long. Because that long distance bill was a lot. I don't know. Now you can call China for nothing.
Yeah, so I'm just like, how did the phone companies let that happen?
I do not know. I don't know. Let me call Australia. It's free. Unlimited calling. I don't know.
Because even growing up, both sets of grandparents lived in Jersey City.
Okay.
So even calling them from where we lived in Islington would cost money.
Yep.
And vice versa. So my parents got some sort of plan where they could call Jersey City. So if my grandparents wanted to talk to us, my one grandmother would ring the phone once
and then
we'd call.
Yep.
My other grandmother would ring it twice. So growing up, our phone had to ring three times before we picked it up because
That's
we didn't know
funny.
If it was a grandmother.
That is pretty
checking
funny.
In.
How about that?
Yeah.
At different times, man.
But it just seems weird. It seems like when a company is making money, they don't want to stop that. So I'm going to figure this out this afternoon, Jerry. This could be my project. When did the phone companies stop charging long distance charges
I don't know.
Why?
Well, first of all, the home phones are now no longer. So
yeah.
At some point, people probably were starting to disconnect and cancel those.
But even like when you got a cell phone, you had minutes.
That's what I was going to ask you. That to me is what you have to, like to me, understanding why the phone companies went by way of free calling. I get to try and keep customers, I suppose, and still charge them a small fee every month. The cell phone I can't tell you about because we can't live without them now.
Yeah, there was a time also when I first moved back here in 2001, I only got a cell phone.
Okay.
And I had Verizon. And at that time, if I called another Verizon customer, it was free.
Right.
But if I called anybody else, it counted towards my minutes.
Yeah, I believe it. Didn't you have to pay for texting, too, back in the day?
Yeah.
You got so many texts before you started getting charged.
Yeah.
And then, now that's like, text 4 million times a day. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah, and that, too. If I texted a Verizon customer, I was okay.
Right.
And I guess back then, everybody had various carriers.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this was a way for, like, everyone to get... Verizon's plan was like, everyone will then get Verizon.
Maybe.
And then we'll get those monthly fees versus the, I don't know. I'm going to look into that though, Jerry. Don't think I don't have the time.
I know you do. I do not. I'm flying to Michigan now.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude.
Who's in tomorrow?
I don't know. I think CeeLo, but I'm not sure.
Oh my God, it better be CeeLo.
I think it is. I'm honestly not 100% sure.
I think it is CeeLo. I think I checked when the schedule came out. I like to look ahead.
All right.
And I said, oh, I see Jerry's out. I better check to see who's my partner.
CeeLo.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. I'll be back here tomorrow at 5 a.m. with hopefully CeeLo.
And hopefully a Rutgers win.
And hopefully a big Rutgers win.
Would be
win.
A big one.
So you're going to Michigan State or Michigan?
Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan State beat Maryland last
year. Yeah, so I was wondering, are they going to be on a roll?
Yes.
Okay. Good luck, Rutgers at Michigan, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
So!
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.